Mark chapter 1. Let me just say this by way of introduction here. It really has nothing to do with the message, but the July 4th weekend and the celebration of our nation's independence and all of those things, I would be remiss if we did not point to God. The reason that we have freedom in this country is only because of God, only because of God's blessing. It's not because of men's hard work or a vision or a dream that some men had. It's actually only the blessing of God. And I praise the Lord for our founding fathers. I do. They were wise men, and as our song leader said, they were men who feared God. Even if they weren't true Christians, they at least feared God to some degree and believed in the Word of God and set the foundation and established this country and this nation. We better not take that for granted. Don't be fooled, and don't be naive, and don't be ignorant that we could lose it at any moment. In fact, let me say this with the risk of sounding sensational or provocative here. I don't want to be. That's not the way that I intend this. But our freedoms are being eroded right from underneath our feet, right before our very eyes. Just do, the part of the problem in America is that people stick their head in the sand because they don't believe that the things that are happening in this world can happen here in America. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about the fact that the life as we know it could completely change and will change overnight probably. We got our entertainments, we got our money, we got our sporting events, we got all the things that keep us occupied and keep us from really seeing what's happening. And sadly, I really believe this, folks, sadly, America as we know it is going to cease to exist at some point in time. I don't know when that's going to be. But don't be fooled and don't be naive. Just take a look at what's happening around this world. Take a look at what's happening in America right now. Unprecedented things are changing and happening all around us. Presidents signing orders, and taking authorities and powers upon themselves that have never happened in this country. And Congress sitting by, letting it happen, and American people trying to go on with their life, happy as they can possibly be. But before you know it, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. I don't spend a whole lot of time watching the news, but more and more all the time, it's probably important to watch the news just to be somewhat aware of what's taking place in our world. And you can't believe everything that you see on the television. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. But there's a lot of evidence out there saying that things are changing. And, we need to be talking to our Heavenly Father. And we need to be asking Him for His blessing. We need to be asking Him to change things around if it's possible to change things around in this country. And no person in the White House is ever going to bring peace and fix the problems of this world. It doesn't even matter if we have the most conservative man we can find and put him in. It's not going to fix the problems of this world. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. Only God can. And we need to pray to our Heavenly Father to preserve the freedoms that we do have. And don't be naive to think that it could never happen here. It can. It can. But that's just a side note. That's message number two. Now we're going to move on to message number three. All right. Mark chapter 1. We're going to read verses 29 through 45 as our text. I'm really going to focus in on verses 40 through 45 for our text this morning. But I want us to read from verse 29 for context sake. Now, last week, and you can even look in the back of your bulletin there. If you look on the back page of your bulletin, you see something that says a look at last week. And I just put a little blurb in there in your bulletin. I don't know if you read them or not, but I do put some work into that, so read it, okay? But I just give you a little snippet of the things that we talked about last week. And today is a continuation. We're in the same passage of Scripture, and we're looking in the life of Jesus here and the day-to-day happenings here. And so we're going to read from verses 29 all the way down through 45, just for context's sake, all right? And so beginning in verse 29, this is right on the heels of what took place, what we talked about last week, how Jesus went into the synagogue and met a man with an unclean spirit, and he cast him out. And remember, everybody remember last week's message? All right, this is right on the heels of that very same thing. Same exact day, but the next thing that happens, all right? And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John, or with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. All right, so get the picture here. The day begins, and Jesus goes into the synagogue to teach the Word of God, and he meets a man who was had an unclean spirit. And he cast out this unclean spirit and set this man free. And last week we talked about how all men in this world is enslaved to sin. This man was a prisoner inside of his own body. And Jesus set him free. Jesus is the only one who can set you free truly. And then he leaves the synagogue. They go into Simon Peter's house. He heals Simon's mother-in-law of her fever and raised her up. And then in verse 32, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So here's all of this happening in one day. Get the picture. You understand this? Everybody on the same page here? In the morning, Jesus goes to the synagogue, he teaches, he cleans a man of his unclean spirit, they leave, he heals Peter's mother-in-law. At even, they brought unto him all of these people that were sick and that had devils and all kinds of diseases, and here's Jesus giving himself, healing and ministering unto people. Sounds like it was a pretty busy day for Jesus, if you understand this picture that was happening all day long. Jesus giving of himself. But you know what? This was just like any other day for the Lord. He always gave of himself to others. And you know, we could make a great application with that. We are commanded to be like Christ, to have the mind of Christ. And the question would be, do we live with that same mindset and same heart? To give to others? Or is life all about me and what I can gain for myself and what pleasures I can bring to myself and what I want to do and this and that? My time is wrapped up with my life so that I don't have time to even notice or see the needs of others. That's a shame. That's a real shame. But that's all too often how we live in our culture. A culture of me. Jesus set that example of giving himself to others. We read on verses 35 through 39. And in the morning, so here's the next day, right away in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out. Get the picture here. The day before, all day long, he's serving and ministering and giving to others of himself, even through the night. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he saith unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Look at this. In verses 35 through 39, we see the example set by Christ for the need of prayer and communion with God the Father. You see this? A great while before day, he started his day in his relationship with God the Father. Oh, how we need him every day. But here's the thing. When we commit ourselves to walking with the Lord and commit ourselves to communion with God, you see the importance of it even in Christ's own life here? A great while before day, he started with prayer unto God and communion with his heavenly Father. But here's the thing. When we walk close to him, his heart and his mind becomes our heart and our mind. His focus will become our focus. What was Jesus' focus here? Look at verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. You see his focus? And it started with his relationship to God the Father. Let me ask you this question. Do we have this same heart? Do we have this same mindset? Let us go into the next towns that we may preach. Folks, we are his body, are we not? We were left here to fulfill his work. Do we have his concern? Do we have his focus? And see, this is all the context here of what we're going to read about next. Verses 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou sayest nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You get the picture here? Here is Jesus giving of himself, healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases, ministering to people, and his focus is in to go into the next towns and preach there too, so that they might have the opportunity for spiritual life. And there comes to him a leper who no doubt has heard all that Jesus has been doing. His fame spread abroad. Look at verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. This is where Jesus has been healing and preaching. And so Jesus had been preaching throughout all Galilee, healing all these sicknesses and diseases, casting out devils. And there comes to him this poor leprous man. As I said, who no doubt heard all about what Jesus could do and had been doing. I imagine for this man, the news that here's a man who could heal the sick and the lame, and who can cast out devils, and who can make the blind to see, and who can... I imagine that these must have been words of joy, news of great tidings for him. No doubt in turmoil because of his disease. What cold water to a thirsty soul this must have been. Now you have to imagine here, we don't see every detail. It's not put out there for us like a movie so that we could see it. We have to use our thinking a little bit here. But just imagine this man's life. You know what leprosy is? Right? It's a skin disease that eats away at your skin. Eventually it'll kill you. And in those days, they didn't have penicillin and antibiotics and all of those things necessarily that they might use to treat a disease like that today. and leprosy was a plague. And leprosy was a plague to a society, and it was contagious. And what they would do is they would isolate those who had this disease of leprosy. His life was lived in isolation. He wasn't allowed into the commonplaces. He wasn't allowed to buy and sell and trade. He wasn't allowed to do that. In fact, they would live in communities, those who were sick, outside of the city. Because of his life, because of what he had, he was forced and compelled to mingle with the vilest of society, those that were outcast. That was his life. A loathsome disease, leprosy was. No hope for healing, no hope, no remedy to cure him of his disease. How in the world could he refrain from an opportunity at a chance to be healed? You understand what I'm saying? News. This was good news, good tidings to him. How would he reject an opportunity to be set free, to be healed from his loathsome disease? These were good tidings to him, and he was making his way as fast as he could to Jesus. Let me make a spiritual application here. You know, I've asked for you to pray for my sister over and over and over and over again, that she would get saved. Here's a girl, and I use her as an illustration a lot, and sometimes I feel a little bit guilty for doing it. But here's a girl who has access to the truth of God, grown up with it all of her life. She knows what the truth is, and yet she continually rejects it and throws it away and throws it away. And throws it away as if it's nothing. And I think in my mind, and I think in my heart, I am so burdened for her because here she has an opportunity to be healed, an opportunity to be cleansed. And she runs the other direction. Why does she do that? Because she does not understand and see how loathsome and wretched and vile her life really is. Else she would be running to the Lord like this man here. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem in our world today. People have such a need to be saved because of sin and having access to the truth, but are blind and they cannot see how miserable and blind and wretched and poor and naked they really are spiritually. A chance to be healed, and they turn him away. Not this guy. Oh no, not this guy. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 41. The problem in our world is that people don't see themselves as God sees them. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." I read this verse to illustrate the blindness of people's hearts. And here Jesus overlooking the city, and he's saying, if you only knew the things that belong to you, if you only knew the privileges you had, and you have, but you reject them, and the day's coming when judgment's going to fall. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse 20 with me. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 20, the Bible says this, "Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." And this is what he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Wow. The words of the Lord are very strong words here. Because of the access that they had, because of the mighty works that were done in them, they had great privilege, and yet they threw it away. And Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom than for you because of the opportunities that you've had. Does that make sense? It's the same for mortals. The same for you and for me. You know what? Sitting under the sound of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God is a great opportunity. A great opportunity of mercy that God is extending. And those who reject him and those who turn him away are going to face a greater degree of punishment. A greater degree of the judgment of God. Because of the opportunities that they've rejected. I think my sister falls into that category. And my heart is burdened for her. Pray for her, please, that she'd be saved. But I want you to notice with me, go back in our text, Mark chapter 1. That was all introductory type material. I want us to break this portion of Scripture down here just a little bit and make some applications for you and for me. It's already 10 to 12. Wow, I'm just barely getting started. I'll try to go fast. You listen fast, okay? First of all, I want you to notice with me the need. In verse 40, he says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I want you to notice the need here. The Bible says that there came a leper to him. And this word is very significant, and we can make a spiritual application here. It's a terrible word, because I gave you some description of what leprosy was and is already. It was a loathsome disease that caused people to be separate. It caused people to be shut out and to be outcast, and it ate away at their skin and eventually would take their life. It would deform people. And so often people would have to walk around with their face covered because the leprosy would eat away at their skin and eat away at their face and make them deformed and make them ugly and make them just despised. It's a terrible, terrible word because of what it means, what it represents. But you know, it could be synonymous with the word sin in a spiritual sense. Sin is deforming. Sin is ugly. Sin causes us to be cast out. And there's no human cure for the disease of sin. These people who were lepers were compelled by their condition to keep company with the vilest of people, the vilest of society. And you could tell by reading in this portion of Scripture that by this man's actions that he knew exactly what his condition was and he despised it himself. His was a need that was deeply felt. He knew he was a leper. He knew he was vile. He made no attempt to justify himself. He understood how bad it was. That is why he came running to Jesus. And you know, when we make this spiritual application, this correlation between leprosy and sin, let me make this application here for you. When a sinner, when a person who is a sinner before God is convicted of his sin, it's an awakening shock to the system to begin to understand how wretched and vile we are before God. The problem is that most people don't see things that way. Most people think of themselves as a good person. Most people think of themselves as nice people and good citizens, and I go to church and I'm religious and I'm spiritual and I do all of these things. Look at how good I am, God. And we don't see ourselves as vile and wretched and poor and blind and naked because we have nothing good to offer God. This man made no attempt to justify himself. He knew how bad it was. And sin is a plague in the heart. Sin is a plague to the soul that cannot be touched with any kind of outward reformation. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3? In fact, why don't you turn there with me? I want you to see it. Don't take my word for it here. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says here, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Let me read it again for those of you who are just now getting there. "For all have sinned," everybody, there's no exception. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what the implication is here in this verse? That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The implication is that there's never a way for us to attain the glory of God. There's nothing that we can do to reach it. We've all sinned and we fall short every time. And there's no possible way for us to attain God's glory. We need to have this understanding of our own sinful condition before God. John chapter 3, in verse 16, note these words here. In John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here's the promise of God. We'll keep reading in just a second. But here's the promise of God because of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's no possible way that we can attain it. God sent His Son. That if we would believe on Him, we'd have everlasting life. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned," but look at this, "but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This is how God sees things. This is how God views your life and my life. Wretched and vile and no possible way to attain His glory, and condemned already. This man, we're making some spiritual applications here, but this leper knew how bad he was. He knew what his condition was. And it was an understanding of his condition that drove him to Jesus Christ. Now follow me with these applications here, okay? It was an understanding of his true physical condition that he couldn't help himself. It was his understanding that drove him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me illustrate something for you. Hunger would constrain the runaway child to come back home. You know, the runaway, "I'm leaving." I did this when I was a kid. Mad at mom because she wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. And I would open up the back door and I'd say, "I'm running away." And she would, "Let me help you pack your bags." That's what she'd say to me. I'd march on down the road, you know, just determined I'm leaving. Until she would say, "Supper time!" And I'd be like, okay, fine. And I'd go running back home. Hunger and a need for food constrains and compels the runaway child to come back home. You remember the story of the prodigal son? in the Word of God. When the prodigal began to be in want, when he realized that he had spent all of his living riotously, now he was nothing, and he was wallowing around in the pig pen, eating pig food, just barely trying to survive. When he began to be in want, that's when he said, "I will arise and go to my father's house." When he started to feel the sting of his condition, that's what turned his focus around. Let me make this application. This is exactly what is missing with those who sit under the sound of the gospel for so long and never respond. They sit here and they hear the preaching of God's word, and they begin to have an understanding that we're all sinners and so on, but they don't care. They don't see themselves as God sees them. They cannot see how miserable and wretched they are, that they are on the brink of death. Eternity is right around the corner. If they could truly see that, they would surely come running to Jesus. Folks, this is exactly what I pray for so often, even in tears, for my sister. Eternity is right around the corner. And only if you have peace in your soul because of God's peace, only if you have a relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, will you escape eternal damnation. That's what the Word of God teaches. And you know it's true if you've experienced that in your own life. And the problem is, the reason why people don't come running to the cross or running to the Savior is because they cannot see their true condition before God. They can't see themselves for who they really are. Else they would surely come running. This man had a need. He needed to be cleansed. He was leprous. It was going to kill him. And he understood his condition, and so he came running to the one who could save him. You follow this? Look with me in verse 40 again in Mark 1. Not only do we see the need, but we also see the manner in which he came. Verse 40 says, "The leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." You see the manner in which he came? He came beseeching him and kneeling down before him. You know what that word beseech means? It means earnest. It means compelling. He says in his spirit he was clamoring to be made whole because he had a very keen understanding of his condition. And so he came earnestly to the Lord, and it caused him to kneel down before him. What is that an implication of? Humility. You see it? He says, I know I need to be healed. I have this loathsome disease. There's nothing I can do, but I know you can do it. Please, Lord, please heal me. And he bowed before Jesus. A thorough consciousness of our guilt and uncleanness, and a thorough consciousness of our helplessness, is exactly what it takes to bend the stiffened knee. Come on. There may be some sitting in this room this morning, this afternoon. It's 12:01. There may be some sitting in this room who've never bent the knee before a holy God. Maybe you even have knowledge of the truth of God's word. Maybe you even know that all men are sinners and all men are condemned. Maybe you've heard this before, but you have never repented of your sin and trusted Christ. You've never humbly bowed before a holy God. You've never come to Him beseeching Him, saying, "Lord, I know I'm guilty. I have this disease of sin, but I can't save myself. I need You. Please, God, come into my life." And it's because You haven't felt the guilt of sin. You haven't felt the sting. You haven't seen the condemnation that awaits. And so you've never humbly come before a holy God. This man is a great illustration. This is the point I'm making. This man is a great illustration of the humility that it takes to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. An understanding of the condition and a humble heart to ask for his forgiveness. But I want you to notice with me in verses 41 and 42. Here's the reception. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Look at this reception here. Jesus' heart was moved when he looked on him. He was moved with compassion, and the earnest, humble, believing cry of need is what moves the Savior to compassion. His love for mankind moved him from heaven to earth that he might hang on a tree and bleed and die so that you and I could be redeemed to God. But it's the humble, earnest cry of a sin-sick soul that causes God to apply that remedy to the heart. You following what I'm saying here? As soon as Jesus saw this man's humbled heart, Jesus put forth his hand and made him whole. And you know what? He does the same for the one who cries out for mercy. God, I'm a sinner. I know I'm condemned. I cannot save myself. I need your mercy, God. Please forgive me for who I am. And immediately, when Jesus Christ, when he sees the humble heart, provides the cleansing that is necessary. You know, some people say, why can't I get saved? I want to be. I've tried in the past. Why can't I get saved? The reason is because there's no sorrow over your sinful condition. There's no understanding of your condemnation that has driven you to kneel before the Savior in humility. It is the very reason why my sister is not saved. It's the very reason why people all across this country will sit in auditoriums like this all over our country and hear the gospel. Young people growing up in Christian homes having an understanding of the truth, who maybe even say, well, I want to get saved because that's what we... I know that God wants us to, but why can't I? It's because you have not seen your guilt and your sin before a holy God. That's why. There's no understanding. Because as soon as the Savior sees the humble heart, he puts forth his hand that is mighty to save. Yes, amen. Look with me at Psalm 51. Just a couple portions of Scripture and I'll be done here. Psalm 51. What is God looking for? Psalm 51 and verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. What is the thing that God cannot turn away from and will not turn away from? A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. Look with me over in Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What is it that will allow somebody to receive the forgiveness of sins. It's a broken heart. It's a broken spirit, broken over my sin, an understanding of my wretched condition before God, and a humble heart that says, God, I need your mercy. Just like this man with the leprosy, he knew what he was. He knew how loathsome he was, and he came running to the Lord, and he said, Lord, please, if you will, you can make me clean. And as soon as Jesus saw that humble and contrite heart, immediately he put forth his hand and made him whole. Immediately he was made clean. The leprosy departed. Instantly he was made clean and delivered from his disease. The spiritual application is this. How is a man made free from his disease of sin? John chapter 15 and verse 3 says, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the question is, how is a man made clean from his disease of sin? Jesus said, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of what? What is it that purifies the soul? It's obedience to the truth of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world to die for sinners. You understand your guilty condition before God, and with a humble heart ask for His mercy, repenting of your sin. His heart is moved with compassion, and He applies the remedy. We are justified. We are set free. We are cleansed the moment we repent and believe the gospel. So let me ask you this question. This man is a great illustration, a spiritual illustration of what it takes to be cleansed from sin. Are you saved? Are you cleansed from sin? Have you been set free from the bondage of your sin? Do you have an understanding of the condemnation that we're under that's caused you to run to Christ, humbly seeking His healing hand? Have you experienced true salvation today? You can, if you haven't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd take this truth, the truth of the Word of God, and even the illustration that we see in this man, who is condemned to die because of his disease. No human cure or remedy or help. Only Jesus Christ could heal this man. And because he understood that, he came running to Christ and knelt before him and said, Lord, I need your cleansing. And the same is true in the spiritual realm when it comes to our sin. We're poor and blind and miserable and wretched because of our sin. And there's nothing good that we can do to cleanse ourselves of it. We're under condemnation. We're condemned to die. And only the healing hand of Jesus Christ, only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. What a great truth. What a blessed gift from a loving God. And Lord, I pray this morning for those here who are without Christ today. Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. I cannot see into the soul of a man or a woman. But Father, would you accomplish your purpose and your work in each and every heart? And if there's one without Christ today, Lord, would you draw them? Would you give them an understanding of their need? Father, help them to see their true condition like you see it and beg for mercy. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if we have another minute on this planet. We can't control any of that. And so, Father, when you speak, when you give opportunity, when you extend your hand of mercy,
Father, may we be quick to respond. Accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together, please, just for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is called an invitation. Just for a moment. It's an opportunity to respond.